Radio Network News, I'm Darren Copeland. Prime suspect in the murder of five members of his family is attending their funeral in Bakersfield today. Pastor Joseph Jordan of the Christ Church Ministry said people outside the case should realize that Vincent Brothers hasn't been convicted of the deed.
The family itself is stating that they would like for them to stop prejudging him and let the court system do its job.
Dan Collier, who has met with Brothers since the murder of his family, said such an act would be out of character for his friend.
I've known Vincent a long time. I looked into his eyes, and the eyes are the key to the soul, and I don't see a soul of anger. This individual would have to have lost his mind, just snap there. And I didn't see that when I looked at my friend.
Brothers was briefly arrested in North Carolina due to probable cause in the murders and was later released. The victims were discovered last week in a home in Bakersfield, California. Three children, their mother and grandmother, were stabbed and shot to death. New CENTCOM Chief General John Abizade said plans are underway to pull the 3rd Infantry Division from Iraq by September. At a briefing at the Pentagon, he said the force would be replaced by a force with similar capabilities. He praised the division as performing more magnificently than any division in recent U.S. history. When asked about the level of resistance coalition forces are facing, Abizade says it's escalating not in numbers but in how the fighters are adapting to U.S. tactics. City of Virginia Beach spokesman David Sullivan says the city is ready for the challenges it's going to face now that the John Allen Muhammad sniper trial has been moved to the resort city. Sullivan says that unlike the mayor of the city of Chesapeake, Virginia Beach Mayor Mayera Oberndorf did not write a letter to the judge asking that the trial not be moved to Virginia Beach. Oberndorf felt the city was obligated to help another Virginia jurisdiction. Sullivan also says their main concern is that Muhammad get a fair trial.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of 3 herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free, completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
The 12-year-old British girl that ran away with a 31-year-old former Marine has been reunited with her parents. Siobhan Pennington's mother, Joanna, says she's so happy to have her daughter back.
I can't tell you how relieved. It's just such a turnaround from the situation days ago, which seems years ago, I must admit, years ago now. Absolutely fantastic.
Former Marine Toby Studebaker has been arrested in Germany after an international manhunt. Studebaker is accused of flying to Britain to pick up a 12-year-old schoolgirl and then taking her to France. The two reportedly had an online relationship. A superintendent for police in Manchester, England, stated the suspect was arrested in Frankfurt under an international arrest warrant. Studebaker has claimed the girl told him she was 19.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
President Bush says the government shouldn't fear faith-based programs. Speaking to a group of urban leaders at the White House, Bush said the U.S. government should welcome the armies of compassion instead of turning them away.
We believe where we find hopelessness and suffering, we shall not turn our back. And there are, in this land of plenty, there are people who hurt, people who wonder whether or not the American experience, what they call the American dream, is meant for them.
Legislation on the president's faith-based ideals has stalled on Capitol Hill. The president wants private faith-based charities to receive government money to help with community problems. Critics argue that it would infringe on the constitutional separation of church and state. Lackluster earnings reports and jitters over rising interest rates sent the market into negative territory. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 34 points to 90.95. The NASDAQ was down 5 points to 1714. The S&P 500 lost 6 points to close at 994. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. It's raining cats and dogs. You're slowing down, being careful, but you hit a wet patch, and there you go, hydroplaning. Now, what causes it, and what can you do about it? When we come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is Racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and Christian Fittipaldi. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
When tires meet road water, they can do two things. Channel the water and remain on pavement, or skim on top of the water. Hydroplaning occurs when tires, especially bald ones, ride on a wedge of water and lose contact with the road. Your car is literally skiing in the street. When this happens, take your foot off the gas, but don't brake. Braking can cause your car, and sometimes you, to spin out of control. But the best way to hedge against hydroplaning is to equip your car with well-treaded tires. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing more, life's life.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Truth Seekers, Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Phone number here is 800-TALK-YES. Or you can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Only two more programs to get it said until Monday, July 28th. That'll be tonight and tomorrow. And then we're out of here for 6 working days. And our farewell tribute to Ari the Liar tomorrow night. You will find it fun, all right? Is there something in the water or the air that is infecting people with religious visions and conversations with God and Jesus and everything? Now it's Deion Sanders. Huh? Now, he's always referred to as a former Dallas Cowboys cornerback, but, you know, he played here with the Atlanta Falcons before he ever played with the Dallas Cowboys. And didn't he play with the Braves, too, Kathy? He played with both, the Falcons and the Braves. But Deion Sanders now, who lives in Dallas, is in a legal battle with an automotive shop owner over what Deion Sanders says Jesus told him to pay for a repair bill. I mean, this guy, yeah. The owner of this repair shop says Deion Sanders wanted to pay only $1,500 of a $4,200 bill, saying that Jesus had informed him that was all he needed to pay. Now, the people suing Sanders, the attorney for the plaintiff suing Sanders, says it's the Praise Jesus discount, apparently. The attorney said he's been trying to collect the bill from Sanders for about 2 years now on behalf of the plaintiff, Phil Compton, the owner of the car repair business. Apparently what happened, according to papers filed in this lawsuit, in the plaintiff's lawsuit, the owner of the shop and his mechanics installed a new radiator and a thermostat and flushed the engine and repaired the car's electrical system and gauges and replaced the starter motor and removed contaminated fuel and rebuilt the carburetor. Okay? So then they presented the bill. And the car was returned to Deion Sanders' home on November 5th, 2001. All right, it's been a year and a half. According to the legal papers filed, Deion Sanders' wife answered the door. She took the keys and the invoices. She started the car to make sure it was working. Then she went back into the house, locked the door, and refused to return the keys or the invoices. And immediately, a couple of Sanders' bodyguards then moved their cars to the front of and the rear of the Lincoln in question here. It's a Lincoln Continental convertible. So that it couldn't be towed back to the garage. Okay? So then Sanders drove up, Deion Sanders. He refused to pay the invoice amount. Instead, he handed the owner of the shop a $1,500 check, and he said, "Praise Jesus, I know what in my heart I'm told to pay." Oh, man. Does this never stop? Does this never, ever stop with these people? Deion Sanders. Boy, I remember when he was Neon Deion. Used to just run circles around the Falcons opposition. Oh, well, never mind. The whole country's going crazy, right? God tells George Bush to go kill Iraqis and Afghanis, and Jesus tells Deion Sanders not to pay for his car repair. Pat Robertson is asking God to get rid of three Supreme Court justices. And Osama bin Laden and who else? Well, I guess Osama is the only religious nutcase and that we've done business with here lately. Osama bin Laden is demanding that. What is he demanding anyway? I don't even know anymore. Is he still demanding that the infidels, that would be us, get the hell off of Muslim territory? I mean, that's ostensibly, if you believe that Osama bin Laden, if you believe Al-Qaeda, if you believe the people who were charged with, at least in the popular culture, with bombing the Trade Center and the Pentagon, if you believe all that stuff, then okay. Deion Sanders, Osama bin Laden's reason for all the death and destruction was he didn't like the fact that there were Americans in near Islam's holiest sites, Mecca and Medina, and the treatment of the Palestinians. Doesn't make sense anymore, does it? It just doesn't make sense. Religious freaks and fanatics. I frankly just wish they would all get together on an island and then let the island just sink slowly into the hell that all of them believe exists, don't they? They all do. The fundamentalists do. Fundamental Jews, I guess not. Fundamental Muslims do, some sort of hell. Christians, of course. Woo, baby! Christians have constructed some hell. But I just get so tired of listening to them, don't you? Why do I bring it up on the program? Because Deion Sanders, come on, man, football. Yo, football, Deion, hey, Deion, baseball. Jesus told him that the bill should not be $4,200, it should be $1,500. Now, you got to think, well, Deion was just jerking this guy around. No, he wasn't. He really wasn't. Deion had his moment. You know, he was a drug-using, whoring, a professional football player who would, get overtly friendly with a pile of rocks if he thought there was a receptive person somewhere down in those rocks. I mean, he was a real, just an absolute Neon Deion when he was playing with the Falcons. Oh my God, his reputation was just steamy, if you want to be polite, filthy, if you want to be truthful. And then he got, he found God, just like George did. He found Jesus. You know, I didn't know Jesus was lost or Neon. I don't know. But I bring it up because it just seems like an unending stream of these people who pervert and convert and they're different religious faiths. Oh well. Who cares, right? Paul's calling from Poconos, Pennsylvania. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good evening. I was sitting here listening to your rant on as usual, and God told me I should call you.
Did he really?
Yeah. I need to straighten you out. Quick, I heard you were talking last night about our Reverend Robertson and his comments, and frankly, I think he did us a favor.
Pat Robertson?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, I don't know if you discussed this last night or not, but you put me to sleep about halfway through the second hour, so I might have missed some of the good comments. But
I put you to sleep?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, hey, You know, it's hot up here in the summertime, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But
was the show that boring?
No, it was fine. I was just tired. Give me a break, guy. You know?
Oh, okay. Well, I don't, you know, I mean, there's Soma for that. You know,
yeah.
we try to keep folks awake. Oh, well.
I didn't have any caffeine, so what can I tell you?
Yeah, that's true.
But
I usually fall asleep during the last hour of the program, too, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I know that for sure.
Yeah, right.
But I listened to him this morning. I guess he was on the Today Show. They interviewed him. And basically, if you were one of those three members of the Supreme Court you're referring to,
yeah,
would you give that idiot the satisfaction of retiring now?
Oh, no. Well,
I mean, he did us a favor. Those three are not going to retire now.
No, but the three who are going to retire are people like Rehnquist and Sandra Day O'Connor and who's the other? John Paul Stevens, or is he already gone? It's hard keeping track.
He was talking about Ginsburg. That's the one he was referring to.
Yeah, Ruth Bader Ginsburg dealing with her health problems. I think it's clear that Rehnquist is going to retire. He's older than dirt. And wants to get out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not that old.
But I think that now if I were those three or I was any member of the court, I'd say, I'll wait until the Democrats elected before I leave now.
But the three that he was referring to, that Robertson was referring to, are the three liberals. So,
yeah, well, of course.
Right, so they're not going to resign anyway.
Right,
I wouldn't think. Maybe who knows?
But you brought up a point last night. And you were talking about Korea, about how Pat's daddy got him out.
Yeah.
Now this brought up a memory of mine. I had a neighbor across the street who was just plain fun to know. He died. I don't know, quite a few years back now. I don't know, 5 or 6 years back, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And knew the guy very well. He was on a boat going to Korea when he was 17.
Mm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got talking one time, and he says, you know, he says, we were cruising west, and he says, all of a sudden, in the middle of the Pacific, in the middle of nowhere, the boat stopped. We sat there for a couple of days. And then all of a sudden, another boat going the other way pulled up and stopped, and a little ferry boat came, you know, one of these little dinghies or whatever, came from that boat to our boat. Picked up an individual, carried him back, and we took off. We went to Korea. The other boat went home. Well, the person that transferred from boat to boat, according to my good neighbor, was none and only Pat Robinson.
Well, the way I heard the story, and I'm not disputing it, the way I've read this is that Robertson got sent to Japan. He didn't got now maybe
well
he,
whatever
yeah maybe he did come back to the States, but like a lot of these people who love death and destruction as long as it's somebody else's death and somebody else's destruction. Pat Robertson is you know, he's nothing but just a religious right-wing cowardly thug.
And, oh, come on.
I'm not kidding you. And if there is this Christian heaven and hell and Messiah and God and cloud beings and everything that he believes in.
He's going to burn for this one.
Oh, man. As soon as he dies and makes the crossover, you know, they're going to send three or four thuggish angels down to just beat the hell out of him for about an hour.
Why wasn't the Reverend Robertson praying before we went into Iraq that Saddam Hussein would drop dead, keel over, and we wouldn't have to go in? I never heard peep one.
No.
Never heard one peep from this guy. So what kind of a quote-unquote Christian is he?
Thug, punk, rat, gonna burn in hell. You know, how much you want from me tonight, Paul?
Yeah, all right.
Thanks a lot, man.
Good night, sir.
All right, appreciate you checking in. Why is U.S. media not going ballistic over Bush's claim the other day that Saddam Hussein would not let the inspectors in? The only thing I've seen so far is Dana Milbank and somebody else at the Washington Post kind of dancing around it a little bit. Why is not every single television anchor person or reporter, newspaper columnist, editorial board, a news gathering organization, why are they not saying, oh, Jesus, look at this. George Bush says Saddam Hussein wouldn't let inspectors in. And the entire world, including us stupid Americans, everybody knew that the inspectors were there. That was... I'm not going to try to explain it. I can't get this. I've spent this day and half of yesterday trying to figure out, has anybody got an answer? Please help me, please. You know, when I asked for the name of the monster in Beowulf, you all come with it, boom, that quick. All right, see if you can answer this one. Why is media in this country not all over Bush's statement that Saddam wouldn't let the inspectors in?
right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dent is strong, so the pain is gone.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show.
Jody in Arlington Heights, she says, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine, and it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery, but that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my wife program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, Peter.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Anybody got an answer to that question? I'm serious. I usually don't do that on this program. Gun control, yes or no? You know, that's just not my idea of talk radio. And it's not good, probably, to say, hey, does anybody have an answer? Why are media in this country not going ballistic over Bush's claim that Saddam would not let inspectors in? But I just wonder if you all have anything other than the same answer I do, and that is that the media is comprised of nothing but 30-cent whores. With a few exceptions, yes. We always, you know, do I have to keep saying that with a few exceptions? You know, Krugman and Christoph and Scheer and Molly Ivins and Arianna Huffington and Helen Thomas. Yeah, sure. Yes, yes, absolutely. There are some exceptions. But as you look around, if you did today, now again, I don't, you know, I stay away from television. I stay away from it. But occasionally I will flip on CNN in the middle of the afternoon, just see what they're talking about. And today it was, what was it today? Oh yeah, God striking Texas with a hurricane. And, but nothing. I didn't see anything. I listened to NPR tonight, All Things Considered. Didn't hear anything. Watched a little MSNBC tonight. Nothing. Nothing. George Bush sat there with the Secretary General of the United Nations. When was it? Was it yesterday? Monday, Kathy? Monday or Tuesday? Monday? And this ignorant fool sits there and said, well, you know, we warned him. We Saddam wouldn't let the inspectors in, so we gave him a chance, and we went in. And nobody's saying anything. Now, a couple reporters the next day with Scott McClellan, the new little butt boy who gets out there, hi, I'm Scott McClellan, a cool man, you got any questions? You know, a couple of reporters asked him about it, and McClellan gets in this thing, well, he was talking about UN Resolution 1441. Well, no, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. So, why? Anybody going to answer that? Now, the second question tonight, shouldn't there be a penalty for lying us into war? Shouldn't there be something? These filthy Republicans are saying, well, it's time to move on. George Bush has moved on. Look, we've explained all this. This is 16 words. I got 16 words for you. Eh? Shouldn't there be a penalty? Anything? Is there any penalty for the highest levels of the Bush crime family lying us into a war where thousands of people are now dead? Is there nothing? Have we become that spineless, we Americans, our news media, 30-cent whores, our Democratic Party, rollover lapdogs, Republicans, nothing but swine-dwelling swill skanks? No, is there nobody? Is there nobody going to say, look, some of these people have to resign or be put up in front of a firing squad, something? Is this not murder? Does it take away the aura of justifiable conflict, if there is such a thing? Take away the thing of war, a threat to our territory, threat to our integrity, threat to our safety, threat to our freedom. These sons of bitches lied us into war. Is there no penalty? Is there nothing? Are we just going to move on? We're just going to move on? Jesus. Jesus, this is a sick country. And the third question, not a question, one thing I have noticed, the commentators now, the Republicans started this first, but now the news whores are starting to do it too, and that is that Democrats are playing politics in questioning Bush's filthy lies. Yeah, the Republicans brought that up first. Well, you know, what do you expect? It's, you know, they're getting ready to, you know, it's politics, or run for president. Blah, 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 blah. And now you hear some of these squirmy, snake-like people on television who are news anchors or program hosts saying basically the same thing. Well, you know, it's election year. That's all it is. Republicans, you know, Democrats are just trying to politicize. These bastards in the White House and the Defense Department, the State Department, got us into a shooting war. That's not politicizing our health, our safety, the integrity of our nation. But the story now, of course, Democrats are playing politics.
Electronic media creates reality. Electronic media creates your mind. Do you watch the nightly news?
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Custodians in Portland, Oregon have joined a growing list of janitors around the country with union contracts. 1,800 members of Service Employees International Union Local 49 gave their approval to a five-year deal over the weekend. And while it doesn't bring janitors the full family health coverage they were seeking, it will provide them with 100% employer-paid health coverage. It also contains a clause that would provide the children of janitors with health coverage should their union sign up 70% of the city's janitors.
The strategy is to utilize as much as possible the excitement of the members of the union to help do the organizing.
Lori King is an organizer with Portland Jobs with Justice. She says the union currently represents 57% of Portland's downtown janitors, meaning it needs to sign up another 400 in order for children's health coverage to kick in.
It's going to take four downtown buildings who hire on with union janitorial firms that will put the percentage up to 70%. So it really puts the incentive on organizing and puts the incentives on people who are members of the union to help do the organizing.
The contract also brings workers a 10-cent raise next year and quarter-per-hour raises in each of the following years.
Contract talks begin today between the United Auto Workers Union and the big three U.S. automakers. Keeping health care costs low is expected to be the largest area of contention between the two sides. The UAW has previously said it will not accept any increases in health insurance premiums, while Daimler, Chrysler, General Motors, and Ford say hikes are necessary as their own costs are rising and profit margins on every vehicle sold are at their lowest levels in years, averaging under $500 per vehicle for each company. More than 300,000 auto workers are covered under the contracts, which expire in September.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. So a couple of questions out there. If you want to take a shot at them, fine. If not, that's okay, too. The one question I have today is why nobody in media seems to be, with a couple of little glancing blows, nobody in talking about this insane statement. Now I realize Democrats.com, they got a petition to invoke the 25th Amendment and get this psychopath out of office. But I'm talking about, your standard media, national media. Nobody going ballistic over Bush's claim that Saddam Hussein would not let inspectors in. I mean, I've been thinking about that today. Has any president of the United States ever been this stupid, this ignorant, this criminal and stupid and ignorant? I mean, what's he talking about? Jesus. Somebody suggested in an email to me that he's got the initial stages of Alzheimer's. That's not impossible when you're in your mid-50s. Or what is he, Kathy? 54, 55? That's not impossible at all. Or he's just mad. Anything other than the fact that the guy is totally insane. I mean, he says that God tells him to invade countries and kill. And he said that he says that Saddam Hussein wouldn't let inspectors in. When is there anybody alive who paid any attention to this on the planet who doesn't understand that the inspectors? I mean, Jesus, they went into the palaces. Don't you remember all that? That was one of the issues. They went into the palaces. They went into bunkers and underground. They were like ants swarming over a dropped honeycomb. I mean, they're just all over the place, these inspectors. And Bush sits there with Kofi Annan and says, well, Saddam wouldn't let the inspectors in. And nobody does anything. That is the statement of somebody who is so out of touch with reality as to render him in desperate need of chemical adjustment and long-term hospitalization. Doesn't it? Am I crazy here? Am I crazy here? A man who says that, after talking about the inspectors, after sending his people into the United Nations, after sending his thugs all around the world saying the inspectors are not doing their job right, they can't find anything, I'm tired of waiting, and then he sits there, as he did Monday, and says, well, Saddam wouldn't let him in. Saddam wouldn't let him in. That's insane. Yeah. Let's hear it. This is what he said.
The larger point is, and the fundamental question is, did Saddam Hussein have a weapons program? And the answer is absolutely. And we gave him a chance to allow the inspectors in, and he wouldn't let them in.
Oh, my God. I mean, listen to that. And the Democrats who have the temerity to bring this up are now being labeled by, well, of course, by Republicans. Republicans are animals, though. Republicans are invertebrates. You know, they're slime. They're worms. All Republicans. I'm sorry if that includes your boyfriend or your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, your senator. I'm sorry, but it's the truth, okay? And I don't declare it the truth. I mean, it's not the truth because I say it's the truth. Anybody who's a Republican who has joined up with a party that has at its head a moron like this who says Saddam Hussein would let the inspectors in, anybody who's a Republican today is a total jackass, just a moron, no sense of ethics, morality, nothing, no moral center, no soul, no spiritual aspect, nothing. They are participants in mass murder. So don't send me emails and say, well, Mike, you know, there are some good Republicans, Ron Paul down in Texas. Look, Ron Paul was a libertarian. And he didn't have the courage to run and get elected on the Libertarian ticket, so he switched to Republican. Screw Ron Paul. You know, may Ron Paul burn in hell, too. Does Ron Paul make some interesting statements? Of course he does. But as long as he's a member of the Republican Party, he's trash. He's filth. As long as Olympia Snow is a member of the Republican Party, she's trash. She's filth. All of these Republicans, every single one, if your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your kid is a member of the Republican Party, they're trash. They're filth. Sorry. That's just the way it is. Because they support murder, lies, distortions, destruction, death, and the ending of this country as we know it. And they're backing some psychopath who says, God told me to invade Afghanistan, so I did. God told me to invade Iraq, so I did. Nah, no, sorry, I will not back down an inch. Anybody, inside government, outside government, in media, sports, the dog catchers, I don't care. You're Republican, you're filth. Damn you. And I mean it. Now, do you have to do anything to gain favor in my eyes? Hell no. You can sit right there and say, damn you too, Malloy. And that's fair. I don't care. I couldn't care less. I wouldn't care if every single Republican raptured. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And all of y'all, just float off into heaven. Get the hell out of here. You know, start with Ashcroft. Just get out of here. Scum suckers, go. Go play ball with your cloud being. Man, y'all just make me sick. You make me sick. Boy, I just get going and can't stop. Jim is calling from, Jim's driving in Pennsylvania listening on Sirius satellite radio. Hey, Jim, this is your first time calling, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry if I'm blowing you away tonight and you're thinking, Jesus, who is this moron?
I love it.
Oh. Okay.
Before I forget, you last evening read from an article from a fellow that over in Africa that wrote an article about Bush's trip.
Yeah, it was it was in a newspaper there, just like our equivalent, I think, of a letter to the editor. Maybe not. I guess the person who wrote it was some sort of a journalist, but that, it was written in that style. Like, yeah, yeah.
Do you know where I can find that?
Did we post that, Kathy? I don't think we had a URL on that.
Okay.
Somebody sent that to me, and if the person who sent it to me will send me a URL on it, I will post it, Jim.
I would love to have a copy of that.
Yeah, I've got the email still, but if I just post an email at my website, it's you know, I'd like to have the URL too, and if
sure.
whoever sent that to me will send me the exact URL, I'll put it up.
But I believe that if you'll recall, right after 9/11, someone asked Ari Fleischer, the culinary student, if he pointed comment, and Ari Fleischer made the point of saying, "Be careful what you ask."
Yeah.
And you know, and I believe that you know, there's a corporate media thing here. I believe that George H.W. Bush is, you know, he's on the board of directors of Fox News, of Clear Channel, and, you know, he's the Carlyle Group and all this. I just think that there's an interwoven thing going on here that Bush family.
Is he on the board of directors of Clear Channel? I didn't know that.
I read that just the other day.
I wouldn't be surprised. I just Clear Channel has turned into such a neo-fascist organization. That's interesting. So,
right, but I believe that it's a corporate-owned thing, you know, and Bush is the friend of the wealthy corporate heads.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe as long as he's in office, and I believe that that he'll remain in office unless the Democrats and the people get off their butt and do something about it. This guy's he's destroying this country. I think it's in their plans to destroy the country. The government as we know it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that they're trying their best to dismantle the government along with the beliefs and the thoughts of Grover Norquist.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I believe that they're doing their damnedest to destroy this country as we know it. And but I don't believe that anybody is going to touch the Bush family. I just don't. I think it's hands off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like unless Fox News does something, nobody else will touch it. You know, CNN head, head of CNN, went to the White House and said that, you know, that they had an agreement that they won't report any of Bush's gaffes. Well, you know, if they're not going to report any of his gaffes, they're not going to report on some statement that he makes. You know, I mean, I'm just speculating. I don't know, but
I wouldn't be surprised that there is an agreement like that. I mean, when the president of the United States, even if he's a useless piece of human waste like George Bush, but when he sits there with the head of the UN and says, when he says Saddam Hussein wouldn't let the inspectors in, and everybody just lets it blow by, Kofi Annan should have stood up at that point and looked at him and said, you know, you're a crazy son of a bitch, and just walked out the door.
Well, you know, my wife was listening to some general or some colonel the other day on, I don't know what show it was, mm-hmm. C-SPAN or something or another, that he is trying to get a group of doctors together, and they are going to propose that the guy has dry drunk syndrome,
mm-hmm.
that he's nuts.
And invoke the 25th Amendment and get him out
and,
of
there. And, you know, you were right last night when you were saying the man is crazy. He is nuts.
I don't know.
I believe he's lost his mind. I really believe. I don't know if he had any mind when he got there, but I believe he's lost whatever he had.
Well, anyone who publicly says, God told me to go kill all these people, if that's not crazy, then we need to read. We need a new definition of crazy. Hey, listen, Jim, I'm glad you called. I hope you call again, pal.
I will.
All right. Drive safe. Take it easy. I got a letter here from A listener sent this. This is from the soldiers of the 2nd Brigade, 3rd Infantry Division. Now, first I want to read you this letter. And it's anonymous, and it may be fake, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. And then I've got an article from L.A. Times about the 2nd Brigade, 3rd Infantry Division, about their attempts to give away frozen chickens in Fallujah. July 1, 2003, to whom it may concern, when you hear about heroes, you think of people whom you would envy. None of us asked to be called heroes or anything else. For the past 9 months, we have lived a hard life. We trained for nearly 6 months before the war started. We were the first U.S. forces into Iraq on March 20th and were responsible for the daring strike into Baghdad on April 7th and 8th that virtually ended the war. We are the forgotten and betrayed soldiers of the 2nd Brigade, 3rd Infantry Division, also known as the Send Me Brigade. Our task force motto is Can Do. And we have been living true to those words for a very long time. We are also the unit that is sitting in the city of Al-Fallujah and as we enter the month of July. Our men and women have completed every mission we've been given, even when that mission kept us from coming home on time. We have received the occasional newspaper, each one showing us that the rest of the armed forces are returning home, even as we are getting orders for our next mission. We also read the letters of our commanding general, Major General Buford Blunt, writes in our local newspaper. Each time we read his words, our desperation grows deeper because we know that most of our countrymen are hearing his lies about our situation here. Our morale is not high or even low. Our morale is non-existent. We have been told twice that we were going home, and twice we have received a stop movement to stay in Iraq. Where is the honor and integrity the Army preaches to soldiers in basic training? The closer you get to the front lines, the worse the soldiers get treated. Every single one of my men has diarrhea because none of us on the front lines have had a single fresh vegetable in over a month. Meanwhile, Major General Blunt and his cronies are enjoying Burger King at Baghdad International Airport, which we captured. The 3rd Infantry Division soldiers feel betrayed and forgotten. Many of our brothers in arms have paid the ultimate price to help liberate this country. Every one of us has made sacrifices, and what is our reward? Being treated like farm animals. We have had more support from the press, who were embedded with us throughout the fight, than we have ever received from our chain of command. Our troops and our equipment are worn out. Many of our troops have been through some truly terrible experiences. They have been told by mental health professionals that they need to get out of this environment. Major General Blunt and Lieutenant General Sanchez, the V Corps commander, however, either don't care about those of us out here on the front lines, or they have been lied to by their subordinates and have passed those lies on to the rest of the world. In closing, all I'm really asking for is your help. Please send this letter on to your representatives in Congress and to your local media and ask them to get the 2nd Brigade, 3rd Infantry Division home. Our men and women deserve to be treated like the heroes they are, not like neighborhood mongrels. Our men and women deserve to see their loved ones again and deserve to come home. Thank you for your attention. Sincerely, the soldiers of 2nd Brigade, 3rd Infantry Division. Yeah, don't bring it on. Bring them home. Soldiers! Soldiers, because they understand the situation they're in. They understand. They know. They know. You heard this guy. If this letter may be an utter fake, but there's a website you can go to. Military Families Speak Out, MFSO.org. Military Families Speak Out, MFSO.org. Check it out. These are soldiers. These are not chicken hawk little punks like Wolfowitz and Cheney and Bush. And the rest of these thugs sitting back here saying to these soldiers, well, guess what, guys? You're going to be there for at least a year. Well, we lied to you. Everything we say is a lie. You don't like it? Too bad. You signed a contract. You're in. You're in, dude. In for a dime, in for a dollar. You're stuck. Are you going to get killed? Probably. You heard. We played it for you yesterday, Truth Seeker. We played you what Rumsfeld said. What did he say? Are there going to be more deaths? Yeah, probably. He doesn't care. What the hell does he care? Is it going to be your son, your husband, your daughter? Is it going to be your uncle? Your father? Instead of bringing them home, this little Bush punk paints a target on their backs and tells the enemy, bring them on! And this thug Rumsfeld says these same troops may have to be in Iraq well into next year without being replaced. Is this letter fake? I don't think so. I think this letter is real. Now, how much longer before there's an open mutiny? You guys have served in Vietnam. You know what can happen, don't you? You know what can happen.
'Cause I don't see no ticker tape.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk That's about right. what you do to your animals well, and what your animals do to you. Seal. Mark, Tardis. Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal Jack. Questions Zebra. From A to Z. Iguana. Sunday Jaguar. Nights on IE America Minx. Radio Narwhal. Network.
Ostrich. Right,
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tardis.
Vampire.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few
stop.
More years
no,
on them.
No, I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Here's what I think. You couldn't possibly be any dumber. You go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bats.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
Bring them on. Yeah, I'm safe over here hiding behind my daddy and Dick Cheney's rather ample asses, so bring them on. That bring them on statement is even more filthy and disgusting when you realize, as all of us do now, even you brain-dead Republicans, even you realize that George W. Bush and his thugs put our soldiers where their lives at a risk, where their lives are at risk, and they're dying, based on a complete, total series of lies. How disgusting is that? I mean, what do you call that? I call it murder. George Bush is a murderer. And today, AOL, you know, you log on to AOL, they had a pop-up story on their welcome window that said Iraqis are actually cheering when U.S. soldiers are killed. That's how grateful they are for being liberated. I've got a different slant on that story from one of the newspapers. But, yeah, they're cheering now. When Americans die, as our boys are continuing to die every single day. Now, Steve emails in, I like your show, but do you think you're really helping? How many people really listen to your program? Do you think your explosive, dramatic style would really welcome far-right, Republican, Christian-oriented folk to listen to your message? I love your show, honestly, but I notice your style, though entertaining to me, would absolutely shock my mother, her husband, my grandmothers, my aunt, my uncle, and might even make my open-minded father to brand you as loud but uninformative. A lot of no information. Any thoughts on how to really reach them? Thanks, Steve. No, Steve, no thoughts at all. As far as your family members are concerned, if they don't already understand the lies and the perversions of this Bush crime family, of course they're not going to get anything from me. But this program is not for them. Honest to God, I'm not trying to convert anybody. I'm not trying to reach anybody. I really am not, Steve. What this program is a gathering place for people who have a brain, who are not Republican, who are not neoconservative, who are not neo-Nazi, who know George Bush is a fake and a liar and understands what's going on. In other words, this program is about the only one I know of with a caliber of intensity on the radio where people can come, people who share the same a point of view as I do. But, Steve, I'm not looking to convert anybody. As far as your family members are concerned, what they do with their time or how they inform themselves, that's their business. I would never, ever, ever presume that this program would influence anybody. All right, Steve? I hope that answers it for you.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yes, I'm calling about about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. A surface-to-air missile was fired at a U.S. C-130 military transport plane flying into Baghdad today, but didn't hit the aircraft. While speaking to reporters at the Pentagon, the head of the U.S. Central Command, General John Abizaid, said he believes there have been two incidents like that within the last 2 weeks.
As a matter of fact, I was on the deck of a C-130 the other day, and we had a missile warning, and the guy made a hard right bank, and we fired off all of our flares. And, you know, we looked out there, and these were guys from the Oklahoma National Guard, and they actually thought it was fun. I was terrified.
Abizaid said violence in Iraq will increase as the region sees more political success. He claimed that because those who want to see the coalition fail realize their time is short. The chief prosecutor in the case of D.C. area sniper suspect John Allen Muhammad says today's ruling on a change of venue was expected. Prince William County's prosecutor Paul Ebert doesn't believe the judge's decision to move Muhammad's trial to Virginia Beach will affect the outcome.
People, I think, generally speaking, do what's right, and they go based on the law and the evidence, and I feel confident that Virginia Beach will do just as well as the folks here would have done.
Muhammad faces capital murder charges in the shooting death of Dean Myers. Myers was killed at a Prince William County gas station last October. Muhammad's alleged co-conspirator, 18-year-old Leboyd Malvo, faces capital murder charges in the fatal shooting of FBI analyst Linda Franklin. She was killed outside a Fairfax County home improvement store October 9th. Malvo's trial will take place in Chesapeake, Virginia.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
Secretary of State Colin Powell says he's hopeful the U.S. will reach a peaceful and diplomatic solution to nuclear tensions in North Korea. He discussed the issue with reporters today following a meeting with Germany's foreign minister. Powell said, quote, "The diplomatic track is alive and well, and I expect to see some developments along that track in the very near future." His comments come on the heels of a Japanese newspaper report that North Korea may be ready to change its position on multinational talks. Actress Cameron Diaz is trying to stop the release of some topless photos taken during a private modeling session over a decade ago. In a lawsuit, the Charlie's Angels star claims her signature was forged on a release for the pictures produced by Los Angeles photographer John Rutter. She claims she never gave Rutter permission to release the photos to the public. E! Online reports Diaz claims the topless photos were allegedly used in an attempt to blackmail her. Diaz's lawsuit is part of a criminal investigation into Rutter.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Providence, Rhode Island Mayor David Cicilline had these words for the unusually large number of firefighters that called in sick overnight.
This administration, this mayor, will not tolerate members of this department engaging this behavior, putting residents of this city at risk, and I intend to use all of the resources available to this administration, both through the court system and through the personnel system.
Cicilline says he doesn't know why the firefighters called in sick, but the motive doesn't matter. Cicilline says the action is especially disappointing since firefighters have had opportunities to negotiate any issue they choose with city officials. The president of the firefighters union has not been available for comment so far, and it's not clear if the apparent sick out will continue. It was a down day on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 34 points to 90.95. The Nasdaq is showing a loss of 5 points to 17.47. The S&P 500 lost 6 points to close at 9.94. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. James Dean, French food, playing hooky. All bad things that are oh so good. But, like the little girl with a curl on her forehead, bad gasoline is horrid. When I come back, I'll tell you why. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com. You may get Crepe Suzette out of your system by exercising, but bad gasoline in your car's system does long-lasting damage. As gasoline evaporates, it deposits harmful sludge which interacts with metals in your car's fuel system, causing gas to go rancid. Stale gas looks cloudy, smells like paint thinner, and gunks up your car's fuel injectors. Like too much French food clogs your arteries. So do what James Dean would. Go heavy on the Bernays sauce, but keep your tank filled with fresh gas. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. And welcome to WWKK listeners, Northern Michigan's Cool 750. A little bit later in the program, we're going to discuss the record-breaking nurses' strike up there, maybe next hour. So if you want to weigh in, be there, okay? Clint in Dearborn did some quick research for us during the break. He went to Clear Channel's website, and to our caller who's driving through Pennsylvania, apparently George Bush is not a member of the board. He may have some advisory capacity, but he's not listed as an officer, excuse me, of that corporation or a board member. However, there's two interesting names there. Julius Caesar Watts. Yeah, that would be J.C. Watts. And Vernon Jordan. Yeah, the Clinton the friend, Vernon Jordan. They are on that board. That's interesting. All right, where were we? It's from CNN. J.B. sent this in to me. Harris Whitbeck, reporter for CNN, has the story. Whitbeck said today, when was this? Around noon. He said, we have a couple of incidents to report. The first one occurred earlier this morning. One soldier was killed and three wounded when the convoy they were traveling in on Highway 1 west of Baghdad was hit by an explosive device. The convoy had just passed wreckage of an abandoned vehicle when an explosion was heard. One truck in that convoy was destroyed, and the soldier who was killed was in that truck. Those who were wounded were evacuated to a military hospital. When the explosion was heard, a group of Iraqi civilians who were nearby gathered at the site and were watching what was going on, and when they apparently realized that this was an attack on a U.S. military force, they erupted into cheers, and that cheering went on for several minutes. And then Whitbeck's report goes on. Look for for more soldiers to be wounded or killed tomorrow, because tomorrow is the anniversary of the Ba'ath Party's rise to power in Iraq back in, what, the 60s, 50s? That's Saddam Hussein's political party. And people who understand, not these jackasses from the U.S. Defense Department, but people who understand, really understand this kind of war, this kind of guerrilla war, understand that Hussein's loyalists will probably try to launch more attacks on U.S. forces as a way of commemorating that event. So there's no need to get cute and say,
Baghdad, that's Arabic for Vietnam.
There's no point being cute like that. This is exactly what Rumsfeld and his killers have got our troops into. Exactly. No, not Somalia. Baghdad. Or Vietnam. That's exactly what they've got us into. And Rumsfeld saying it's not a guerrilla war is just insane, because the new commander of all forces in Iraq, the Arabic-speaking general, what's his name, Kathy? Abajad, I've got it here someplace. He stepped out yesterday, and General John Abazade of the Army, and he said it's a classic guerrilla campaign. Now, it's my understanding that General John Abazade of the Army has the respect of his senior officers and his junior officers and the troops because he's an honest man. That's the skinny on General John Abazade, who is a Lebanese-American who speaks fluent Arabic and is now the commander of all American troops in Iraq. And Rumsfeld the other day, of course, said, it's not a guerrilla war. It's not a game. Abazade came out and said, yes, it is. Of course it is. That's precisely what it is. Now, remember what George Bush said, that he learned in Vietnam, that you don't fight a guerrilla war with conventional warfare or conventional weapons or something? That's what George Bush learned in Vietnam. I guess he means Vietnam, Alabama. Do you have that one anyplace? Okay. That was another one of his claims, that just an utter and complete and absolute a lie. And again, Bush is the most ignorant. Well, why bother? Why bother saying it over and over and over again? But Monday he informed us that Saddam Hussein would not allow inspectors in, and that's the reason that we attacked Iraq. Just crazy, totally devoid and separate from reality. And the media in this country has not just lashed at that. I don't even think that have the Democratic candidates lashed out at that. Has anybody? I know a couple people have. Joe Connison has brought it up. Have you got that? Okay, play that.
Perhaps the most important lesson that I learned in Vietnam is that you cannot fight a guerrilla war with conventional forces.
Really? Well, guess what, George? That lesson you learned in Vietnam, it's about to come and haunt and kill and destroy our soldiers that you and your criminal administration couldn't care less about. David is calling. David, I'll give you about 30 seconds. I don't like you. I don't like anything you have to say. But go ahead. I'll give you a shot.
Okay. I just wanted to call. I was listening to you saying how Bush is, and I was thinking about the candidates. You listen to the Democratic candidates. Who do you think is a front runner to have an even shot at beating Bush? And
I think they all do. I think they all do, with the exception of Carol Moseley Braun and Al Sharpton. I think all the rest of them have a shot at beating Bush.
Really? But who's your front runner?
Who's my front runner? I'm backing Dennis Kucinich until such time as it would be pointless to back him. And if that point comes, then I will back the next person on my personal list, which would be Howard Dean. And if it becomes pointless to back him, I'll go to the third one, which I guess is going to be John Kerry. I'm not sure.
I haven't heard much about Mr. Kucinich. What is
I'm not. You can look it up yourself, David. What else you got?
Oh, I was just saying that earlier in your show, I was laughing. You was talking about the kooks on the right, and I will admit we have kooks on the right, and Robertson definitely fits that. Isn't that insane for him to pray, what, that these guys, the Supreme Court, drop dead or resign? What is he? I don't get the point of that. That makes your conservatism look bad.
Conservatism is bad, David. I mean, I don't. You know, if you've got to get your little momentary flashes of reason because some jackass like Robertson says he's asking God to remove three Supreme Court justices, you're beyond help, David. I mean, you really are. You're beyond help.
Mike, do you know why I'm a conservative? Do you know why I'm?
Because yeah, I do.
What?
Because you're a fool.
No.
Well, of course. No. That's the only reason. Because you are a stone fool, David. Conservatism operates against everything that you should be working toward. You're a truck driver. You're probably anti-union. Are you a member of a union?
No way.
No way. You're doing fine not being a member of a union, not being part
yes.
of the Teamsters? Oh,
yes,
are you?
Fine. Right. Yes,
okay. All right.
But,
well, look, David, that's all. You've reached my boredom level, so thanks for checking in. Try not to call again. David, do me a favor. When you feel that urge to pick up the phone when you're out on the road to call, cut your hand off. Do something to stop that impulse, will you please? Because, really, I don't want to be a nasty ass here, but I don't know how else to say it. I don't like anything you have to say. Your ignorance is astonishing. And if you come to this program for some kind of validation that Pat Robertson's a freak, no, I'm sorry. Go away. Now, before I come back to your calls here, the letter that I shared with you from anonymous writer, 2nd Brigade, 3rd Infantry Division, about no morale and how terrible they all feel. L.A. Times had a story today about that 2nd Brigade, 3rd Infantry Division, which is charged with controlling Fallujah. A Sergeant Jason McGinn, who had a Humvee convoy. He pulled up in front of the a mosque, the Saud Ibn Abi Waqqas Mosque, with a load of frozen chickens on Monday. Okay, the chickens, rapidly defrosting in the midday sun, were meant for the needy families of Fallujah. The people came out, they saw what was there, and the imam, a slender bearded young man, stared hard at Sergeant McGinn, shook his head indignantly, and said, "We would rather eat rocks than eat chickens from Americans. Even the poorest person of Fallujah doesn't want chickens from you." And according to LA Times, Sergeant McGinn's unit was brusquely turned away at three more mosques it visited. And these brush-offs are another reminder for U.S. soldiers that hostility to the occupation runs deep, very deep. And it's going to take a lot more than frozen chickens to pacify Iraq. Frozen chickens, huh? How condescending that. What would happen if armed Muslim soldiers went to churches in America and tried to give away frozen chickens? Huh? What would happen? You think they'd be welcome? You think they would? Can you imagine that? Now, on Monday, they were trying to distribute 2,000 chickens, and according to the LA Times, the brigade sent four Bradley fighting vehicles, a dozen Humvees mounted with 50 cal machine guns, soldiers armed with automatic rifles, to go hand out chickens. Jesus. Can it get any more bizarre? There's no need to say, oh yeah, well, Baghdad, man, that's Arabic for Vietnam. There's no need to say that. You know, don't you? Even though you and I have never been in combat, some of our listeners have. But we know, don't we? We know how this movie is going to play out, don't we? We know that more and more Americans are going to be shot down, dead. Two here, another one there, three over there. And the other thing I'm curious about, they keep saying, well, we're up to the point now of combat deaths equal to Gulf War I, and yet, are we to believe that 70 or 80 or what is it now, 90 Americans have died as a result of accidents? What? Or are these just more lies that military command is putting out there so that Americans don't say, Jesus, that many of our people have died since Bush did his little sock dance on the deck of that aircraft carrier? What? You know how this movie's going to play out, don't you, Truth Seeker? Sure you do. So do I. Huh? Of course we do.
Trouble, oh, trouble move from me. I have paid my debt. Now won't you leave me in my misery? Trouble.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Sherwood Baylert is a member of Congress and, despite that, not a bad guy. He's a New York Republican who's been in the House for more than 20 years, and he loves the place. Fine. It's said that some people who muck manure for a living come to love the smell, so everyone to their own taste. But I thought Sherwood had been sniffing the congressional perfumes a bit too deeply when he recently declared that the House is, quote, the one institution in the whole wide world that's the personification of this great democracy of ours. Democracy? The great majority of Americans are factory workers, clerks, cab drivers, dirt farmers, teachers, Main Street merchants, programmers, waitresses, health care workers, and the like. How many of them serve in Congress, or are even marginally represented by those who serve there? About 70% of Americans make less than $50,000 a year. How many of our Congress critters go to Washington from such an income perspective? Indeed, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group reports that nearly half of the newly elected members of Congress are millionaires, which 99.5% of Americans are not. And if the House is so representative of our people, why didn't we get a pay raise 4 of the last 5 years as they gave themselves? Why don't we have top-flight health coverage paid for by taxpayers as they do? Why don't we get golden no-worry pensions as they do? Phil Graham is one example of congressional apartness from the rest of America. The Texas senator who just retired opposed any government program to help regular folks while he slavishly served the corporate powers that financed his elections. He became a millionaire while in office. And now that he's out, we the people will send him a retirement check of $78,534 every year. He'll get more doing nothing than 80% of us will make working day in and day out. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's the personification of plutocracy, not of democracy.
opportunities to hug mothers and wives.
Twenty-four past the hour. Now, we were talking about General John Abizade, the new head of U.S. Central Command, the one who replaced Tommy Franks in Iraq. He said today, quote, "None of us that wear this uniform are free to say anything disparaging about the Secretary of Defense or the President of the United States." So the new commander is taking exception to the American soldiers who are angry over extended tours of duty and who are criticizing Rumsfeld in interviews on ABC News, the general, soldiers who are criticizing Rumsfeld. Several of the wives of soldiers from the 3rd Infantry Division, that's the same one we've been talking about tonight, who talked to ABC News, said today that their husbands spoke the truth and they wanted those views heard. The wives said they feel their mission is complete. They feel that they came, did what they went over to do, and I mean they're done, said Rhonda Vega, whose husband is Sergeant Philippe Vega. It was Sergeant Vega in the interview with ABC News' Jeffrey Kaufman who said it was not easy to maintain morale in his platoon when the Army keeps changing the orders. They turn around and slap you in the face, Sergeant Vega said. When asked if that's the way it feels to him, he said, yeah, kicked in the gut, slapped in the face. Another soldier interviewed on ABC News, Specialist Clinton Dietz, said he had a message for the Defense Secretary. If Donald Rumsfeld were here, I'd ask him for his resignation. Now, these are soldiers. Asked about the comments made to him by the soldiers, ABC's Jeffrey Kaufman said he did not pre-interview any of them to find soldiers who were critical of the situation in Iraq before they spoke on camera. Kaufman said they just spoke. I simply asked questions. I was utterly astonished by their candor. They let their guard down and they said what was on their mind. Today, General John Abizade said he had seen the interviews and he was not happy. He said it's very unfortunate that soldiers, professional soldiers, made comments like that. Whatever action may be taken, whether it's a verbal reprimand or something more stringent, it's up to the commanders on the scene. Now, officially, a soldier can be court-martialed for making those kinds of comments. That's rare, and it's at the discretion of the CO, but it can be done. Mutiny. How often has it occurred? You know, this is an all-volunteer force, first of all. There's a different mindset. And one of the major reasons that people volunteer for the military now, come on, let's be real. For God's sake, let's be real. All right, 10% of the volunteers are warriors. The other 90% are there for two reasons, education and or a job. You don't tell people who are there for education or a job or health care or training to go die for some punk like George Bush and expect them to say, oh, okay, is it time for me to die now? Okay, off I go. I'm 23 years old. It's time for me to die. So George Bush and Halliburton and the Carlyle Group and ExxonMobil and Dick Cheney can all have nice lives and get be wealthy and be comfortable. It's time for me, 23-year-old sergeant whatever, or 22-year-old specialist whomever, or 35-year-old lieutenant whoever, to go die. It's time for me to go die now. Piss off. I don't feel like dying. I want to go home. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Saw a U.S. Marine, I looked at you. I swam in your pools, lay under your palm trees. I looked in the eyes of the Indian, who lay on the Medal of Independence step. I threw the range fighter over the hill. I saw the frontline boys popping their pills. Send her the best they find.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A lifestyle based on plastic creates pollution and threatens public health in some communities. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Many plastic products are manufactured in a stretch of Louisiana often referred to as Cancer Alley. It's no coincidence, according to Bernice Miller-Travis, an advocate for environmental justice. Miller-Travis says minority and low-income communities live in the shadows of the chemical and plastic industry.
We have all these plastics, and, you know, plastic is sort of everywhere, and we're all consuming it in one form or another. What we don't see is the people who live at the front end of that polyvinyl chloride production chain, the people in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and the people in East Texas, and the people who are bearing the brunt, both inside the plants and the people who live downstream of those facilities, are literally dying so that we can have plastic lawn chairs and basketballs and Barbie dolls and all those things that are so essential to life. We have to configure a different way of living.
Lake Charles, a port city on the Gulf Coast, is a hot spot for toxic pollution. Miller-Travis says waste from the plastics industry, including cancer-causing dioxin and PCBs, has contaminated drinking water in Lake Charles and other minority communities.
My desire to have lawn chairs is really causing massive public health concerns for the people who are producing the substance that makes those lawn chairs. And it's as simple as that, you know, but people don't know that. You know, all we know is that we have plastic of every kind, every color, and every shape. And isn't that a great thing? It's not a great thing. But who knows what the consequences are if we don't talk about it?
Miller-Travis says it's unfair for society's poorest citizens to take on greater health risks so that others can enjoy a more convenient lifestyle. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, to talk to the animals. And you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
To the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. David has been holding on forever from San Francisco. Thanks for your patience, David.
Oh, yeah, no trouble, Mike. You know, there are so many different topics to rage through, it's hard to keep up with them. But I was essentially going to mention that there were a number of different opportunities here. You know, right now, the fear industry is essentially cashing in on this whole. You know, whether it's the pharmaceuticals or whether it's the people who are just tired of living and they're looking for that easy way out. This the fear industry is, that's what the Bush family does. You know, that's the nature of their business.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I used to live in Colorado about 10, 15 years ago, when the economy got so crippling bad, you just really didn't want to listen to them anymore. And it's kind of interesting because there's an opportunity here to, you know, you can park your fat ass in front of the TV and watch this terror daily channel surfing of more
right.
lame, ignoble, you know, give up now, all is lost rhetoric coming from the TV. And, you know, and that's what that other Dave that you were so beleaguered by, you know, that's really his problem is he's apparently really caught up in this, you know, believing that he may be just a part of this master race, and that if he cozies up real nice to the Bush boys,
mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll give him a piece of the action.
You can understand then why I have no patience for him.
Well, right. I mean, that's the, you know, I can tell you there's a huge list of Republicans that made that dumbass mistake.
Right.
You know, just look at the savings and loans. Look at the derivatives down in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
Look at here in California when the energy pirates got started about 2 years ago. Who did they attack first but San Diego and Orange County?
Right, the bastion of right-wing retired military.
Exactly. They
right.
didn't. They don't have any loyalty to Republicans. They don't have any loyalty to free market. That's the nature of the huckster business of fascism. They tell you, well, you know, there's this master race. You know, you just might be some of this master race material.
Right.
You know, you just might be good for us.
Let us check your papers one more time.
Well, you know, they encourage you to believe that fascism and their little secret organization is the best, you know, best since cream cheese. But then when your funds run out, well, you know, maybe they can make soap out of you.
Yeah.
So you know, that it's unfortunate about you know, people who are suckers like this, and you know, we're constantly seeing this. Just, you know, I've been kind of making a list of with this whole weapons of mass destruction and the lies and whatnot. Well, who else was in there? You know, of course you got Hannity and Combs and you know, all you just name all of these lame commentators of whether it's mm-hmm. Fox or CNN, and just run through the whole list, all of the newspaper. Writers who were saying that weapons of mass destruction are obviously there, and give up now, all is lost. You know, no peace. Peace is a bad thing. War is good. So, you know, we can make a list of all of these people from back then, but just as easily you can look at these same people who are lining up, and they're proud to join with the big lie,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of amazing. You know, let's see how they jump ship. You know, in about 6 months, when they finally get eaten alive, when they lose their mortgages, when they lose their security, because these fascists really. The fall of the Nazis was really more based upon these people ate each other. I read some stuff once about how the Nazis were actually looting. Part of the fall of the Russian front was that the Nazis were such con artists and ripoffs and criminals that they would actually rip off the supplies on the train that was headed up to the Russian front. Then they would sell it back to the Nazis in order to put it back on the train, but then they'd steal it from the freight yard before it left.
Well, that sounds like the Bush crime family, and it sounds like Republicans, but you know, we've been through this. We went through this with the Reagan Democrats in the 80s, who watched mortgage rates go to 19, or interest rates go to 19%, who couldn't afford to buy a house. Before that, we had the Nixon supporters, people who normally would be a Democrat, but they voted for Nixon. We had it with we had Nixon, we had Reagan, we had Pappy Bush. Pappy Bush had the largest budget deficit until his psychopathic son just pushed it up to $455 billion projected for this year. Look. You know, David, I appreciate your insight, but there's a part of me that says, these people never get it. They're willing to be fleeced over and over. That's why Republicans disgust me. I have nothing but utter contempt for them. I don't think that they may abandon this ship, but the next time a neo-fascist ship comes sailing into harbor, they'll jump on board that one.
Well, you know, and that's part of the problem is that we historically have seen people who are natural suckers because they'll jump for the glitz and you know, the shiny little beads and baubles, and that's what the fascists are good at. They buy they'll steal a load of you know, beads and baubles, mm-hmm. and then they'll take it into some part of town that doesn't have them, and they'll make them a real good deal on it, and then you know, when the news gets in that it's a hot item, they're long gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a nature in this that none of this is natural. That's why these people get suckered all the time.
I hear you.
And it's pretty much just a con job because none of it is instinctive.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to one thing that keeps me going is the realization that back in the American Revolution, the studies came in that somewhere between 5 and 15% of the population of 1776 didn't get involved, 5 and 15% ran the whole thing. 85 to 95% didn't get involved at all.
Right.
They didn't grow food. They didn't use the continental dollar. They didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just as likely that the boneheads that are supporting Bush are those small numbers, and it's pretty obvious with Clear Channel and this FCC takeover.
Yeah, you're probably right, but when does the majority, the people who are disengaged, you know, when do they say, okay, that's enough, and remove this this thug from office? Hey, listen, David, I got to move on.
Yeah, no trouble.
Right.
Just a quick one, you know, right in the big peace marches, they were saying 12.5% were wholly opposed to the war, and they would actively do something. Well, that means that we've already reached that 5 to 15%.
I would,
you know, and so we've already reached it, and it's a matter of confidence building.
I'm sure you're right, David. Thanks for checking.
All right, have a good night.
All right, sir. You too. Appreciate it. Oh, Mike is calling from upstate New York. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Going fine, sir.
Great show.
Thank you.
Real thing, real quick for you. Folks have a nice high-speed connection. You need to go and take a look at the Reuters site. They've got just raw video feed. It'd be a little different for folks, no commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the attack. I guess it was Fallujah or Baghdad where we lost a soldier.
Oh, where the soldiers sit near the body and just weep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's there. And if you want to get a look at it, and it's certainly not nice. But if you really want to get a feel for what's going on with this thing, I mean, there's a truck burning, there's the crashed Humvee, there's a soldier laying there dead by the side of the road, and his buddy's coming over and throwing a tarp over him. There's another soldier, you know, keeping it together, but the last closing shot of this guy starting to cry.
Right.
It's all there, and it's not something you're going to get on the news anywhere.
That's
here.
Yeah, that's right. That was one of the things. I've said this before, you know, and both times I worked at CNN, we used to get raw video footage from ABC, from Reuters, from the French news agency, from AP. 99% of it never made air because these are contract cameramen,
mm-hmm.
who are out there shooting this footage, whether it's a flood or a war, an incident in war or a mass murder, whatever it is. And this video footage is astonishing because when you compare that footage to what the American public, I don't know about the rest of the world, what the American public sees on the nightly news or on cable news, the difference is night and day. You know, even these right-wing chupacabras say that the reason we lost the war in Vietnam was because media exposed the truth of what was going on there. And I'm sure the same would apply now. If the American public could see what is happening and how bad it is, I don't think this occupation of Iraq would last too much longer.
Well, Mike, look, you've got a great radio show. I love listening to you over the Internet. But can you get start? You've got access to this one, these wonderful seeds. You've got to know somebody in the business. I know you know somebody in the business.
Well,
as
soon
on the site.
As soon as our webmaster, Mark Marshall of Maximum Interactive, as soon as he puts this together, we will have it. We will take video, and we will put it on our site so people can see it. But we're waiting for the man. We're waiting for Mark to get it set up. But we will do it. I promise you.
Okay, I'll let you go. I know you got a full bank.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right. Appreciate it, Mike. Chris is calling from Westbrook, Connecticut. Chris, thanks for holding on.
Hi, Mike. How are you tonight?
Doing fine, sir.
You know, it's funny. 3 months before Dumya pushed the panic button and got us into Vietnam 2003, which is exactly what this is, I was saying basically that. And I was in the service during Vietnam 1, and the similarities are frightening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just anybody who was involved in that actively, it's like a carbon copy, and it just gets worse every single day. But on a good note for you, there is a guy in Connecticut here on radio station WICC in Bridgeport,
mm-hmm.
and his name is Citizen Smith, and he is a kindred spirit to you.
Really?
He's not as he doesn't what's the word I'm looking for? He's a little bit low-keyer.
He doesn't get as hysterical as I do.
Exactly.
You can say that. That's all right.
But he has been pounding at Dumya, you know, over and over again, and he's followed by Mike Savage, which makes it real interesting.
When is this guy on, Citizen Smith?
He's on during, I know he's on drive time, and their Arbitron is the highest in that part of the state. So they're doing real well.
I wouldn't be surprised if a liberal or a progressive can get a toehold on a radio station, and if that liberal or progressive has, you know, radio talent. I mean, it can't just be somebody who sits there and is a dolt. But they dominate. Every time I have been in a major market, whether it's Atlanta or Chicago or wherever, you know, and I've tried to explain this to, in my searching for jobs over the years, I've tried to explain this to program directors and general managers. You give me 90 days and I will own that time slot. Not necessarily because I'm good at what I do, even though I am, but because of the point of view that guys like me, the handful of us who are doing it, present. Because people have, it's like, what is this, a radio program from Mars? They don't know what the hell it is. And if somebody listens to this program for 2 weeks, I got them. I have them. That doesn't mean they agree with me, but I have them as a listener.
Well, you had me from day one. I mean, I agree with you, but you also had me from day one. The first time I stumbled on it, because I had no idea that the station here in Connecticut was carrying you.
Right, right.
But, you know, the interesting thing, one more quick comment, is that I've noticed something. When I'm on my way to work, I kind of channel surf between the conservative idiots and just to see what they're coming up with.
Right.
And almost to a man, they're falling over themselves trying to explain Bush's inane comments, in particular the one about
Saddam wouldn't let the inspectors in.
Oh, that just came out. This is new.
Yeah. Oh.
I haven't heard what they have to say about that. But the especially talking about how bring it on and that sort of thing. You know, I mean, it's just.
These right wing punks who dominate talk radio, who own talk radio, have got to put their best act together at this point, because if they don't, if the American public figures out that Bush is the most incompetent criminal ever to occupy the Oval Office, it makes them, the Hannitys and the Limbaughs and the Savages and the Medveds and all of these punks, these useless thugs, it makes them look like what they are. So of course they have to immediately try to spin it. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I know you know this, but they have to immediately spin it, not to save Bush's ass, but to save their own.
Well, I'll tell you, I haven't called a conservative talk show guy in years, but there's one on WABC in New York, and it's not Hannity, it's somebody else. But I am going to definitely call her and find out how she can explain his statement.
Yeah.
There were no inspectors in Iraq. I can't wait to hear the answer. But
yeah, well, let me know what happens.
I will.
All right. Well, listen, Chris, thank you so much for calling. Thanks for holding on.
Have a good night.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. I wanted to get to this thing. Our senior correspondent in Chris in Minnesota, who's still recuperating, sent me this thing on CNN this morning with Bill Hemmer. This cutie pie that is who's he on with? Soledad O'Brien? Is that who is with him? What CNN is doing now, I think more than the other networks, they get family members of people who are in theater, in combat, in the Middle East. And they get them on the air, and you know, what they're expecting is, rah-rah, yeah, we support all this, and I don't mind that my fiancé, my son, my husband is going to die for George Bush. You know, that's what they're looking for. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Right after this break, let me see if we can squeeze this in. Bill Hemmer talking to a woman named Jenna Hamilton, whose fiancé is in Iraq.
Why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eyes. But Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullabies on the news tonight.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's. A good place to sit and eat.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free. 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show. We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Steffen and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Grayline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Let's see if I can get some of this in. This is on CNN this morning with pretty boy Bill Hemmer, who couldn't find his ass with both hands in a roadmap. But here he is, CNN anchor. He says, among those still in Iraq is Specialist Kenneth Egger. Jenna Hamilton is engaged to Specialist Egger. She's our guest now in Savannah, Georgia. Good morning, Jenna. How are you? I'm doing good. How are you? I'm doing just fine. What have you heard from your fiancé lately? Hamilton. Lately, I've just heard that he won't be coming home anytime soon. They don't have a definite date of when he'll be home, and he just wants to be home. Hemmer. And for Specialist Egger, was that a delay, or is this something he thought all along? Hamilton. No, this was a definite delay. They thought they'd be home by September 1st. Now, as Chris writes in, this sets the structure for the interview. There's basic questions, blah, blah, blah. Let's go a little deeper into the interview. Hemmer. So how are you feeling about this, Jenna? Hamilton. It's hard to take. It's unbelievable. Astonishing. How's he doing? Hamilton. He's exhausted. He's mentally, physically, and emotionally exhausted. He says he can't fight any longer. There's nothing in him that he can fight with. Hemmer. Well, Jenna, you're soon to be the wife of a member of the U.S. military. It comes with the territory in many ways. What have you thought about how difficult this might be going forward in the future with him, knowing that the U.S. military is engaged in so many different hotspots around the world? Hamilton. We have actually, since this deployment began, we have decided that we will no longer be in the Army. Uh-oh, Hemmer's falling into a trap here. This woman and her fiancé are pissed off, so much so that he wants out. And now for Bill Hemmer's twist to the knife. But first, Jenna Hamilton has a little something to say. Hemmer. Oh, he's getting out after this tour of duty in Iraq? How do you feel about that? Jenna. Yes, yeah, he can't stand it. Hemmer. Why is that? And by the way, I support him 100%. Why do you say he can't stand it? Hamilton. It's hard on the families. It's hard on the soldiers. And it's especially hard to know that you put your faith and trust into a president and they continue to lie to you. They break promises, and it's hard to fight for somebody like that. Hemmer. Jenna, do you watch the news? Hamilton. Yes, I do. Yes. Hemmer. You do? Hamilton. I do. Hemmer. Do you watch the news? You get the news from Baghdad? And if so, what's that like for you? Well, I watch the news only to get news from Baghdad. It's good at times when you think they're actually coming home, but it's horrible every morning when you wake up and there's another soldier killed and you don't know if it's yours. Hemmer. I understand you're seeing a doctor for some of your anxiety. Is that right? Hamilton. Yeah, that's correct. Hemmer. How long has that been going on? Hamilton. I actually just recently began seeing him after speaking with my physician. Hemmer. Okay, well, listen, good luck to you. And I don't know when you're going to speak to your fiancé again. Will it be this week? Hamilton. I'm hoping so. It's always nice to hear from him. Hemmer. All right, Jenna. All right, Jenna. Thanks. Good luck. Jenna Hamilton in Savannah, Georgia. Don't you want to just bash Hemmer's face in?
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
E America Radio Network. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The prospects for peace for the Middle East might be revived with a series of visits to Washington coming up quickly, the latest announced for the Palestinians, as Priscilla Huff reports.
Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas has been invited to meet with U.S. President George Bush at the White House on July 25th. It's an honor the Bush administration has repeatedly denied to Chairman Yasser Arafat, claiming the longtime Palestinian leader refuses to renounce ties to terrorism. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is also expected in Washington in the last week of July. The newly scheduled meeting with Mahmoud Abbas comes as the Israelis warn the Palestinians are running out of time to disarm the Islamic militants. Meanwhile, the Palestinians promise they're working to extend the temporary halt on attacks against Israelis. Priscilla Hoff, Washington.
4 soldiers are dead after a fiery U.S. military helicopter crash in Italy. A Navy spokesman said their MH-53E Sea Dragon went down 10 miles southwest of an American military base on the island of Sicily. The chopper was part of a combat support squadron and crashed shortly after taking off near the city of Catania. The chopper went down, bursting into flames by the roadside. No one on the ground was injured. The cause of the crash is under investigation. The names of the victims are being withheld pending family notification.
Still using Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra? Then be aware, because this year many prescription plans are raising the copayment cost of your allergy medicine. So why pay more when those medicines are approved to treat fewer triggers? Ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. 99% of prescription plans cover Flonase, and Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. Allergy medicines costing you more? Simply ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
Despite leading the opposition to the U.S.-led war in Iraq, Germany is now prepared to play a role in reconstruction. German Foreign Minister Joschka Fischer met with Secretary of State Colin Powell today in Washington, D.C. for the first time since the military conflict began. Fischer told reporters that his country is, quote, prepared to play a role when it comes to humanitarian aid. But he said his nation is unchanged in its opposition to sending troops to Iraq in a peacekeeping role. Fischer said that responsibility is in the hands of the coalition. As for the relationship between the U.S. and Germany, Fischer said, quote, we are close allies, and added that he was happy to be here. Verizon Communications will rehire about 1,100 workers previously laid off, including up to 75 workers in the Pittsburgh area. The workers were laid off the week before Christmas. An arbitrator ruled last week the company had to reinstate some of the 2,300 workers it laid off in New York. Verizon officials say the ruling decided the company's course of action in reinstating workers in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New England. Verizon maintains it disagrees with the ruling, saying the layoffs were needed because of the economy and increased competition.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
A 37-year-old man is under arrest for sexually assaulting a young girl at a West Virginia Target department store over the weekend. Police in South Charleston say Alan Dwayne Coates was taken into custody this afternoon in downtown Louisville, Kentucky. He faces charges of first-degree sexual assault and kidnapping and is also linked to a similar attack at a Walmart in Kentucky. Chief D.W. Dunlap credited the news media and NASA for helping enhance images of the suspect on the store's surveillance video. The tape showed the suspect watching the girl when she left her mother's side. He allegedly told the girl he was a security officer and asked her to come with him because she was accused of shoplifting. Coates is accused of then pulling a knife and attacking her in the store. It was a down day on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 34 points to 90.95. The Nasdaq is showing a loss of 5 points to 17.47. The S&P 500 lost 6 points to close at 9.94. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. It's raining cats and dogs. You're slowing down, being careful, but you hit a wet patch, and there you go, hydroplaning. Now, what causes it, and what can you do about it? When we come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is Racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and Christian Fittipaldi. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
When tires meet road water, they can do two things. Channel the water and remain on pavement, or skim on top of the water. Hydroplaning occurs when tires, especially bald ones, ride on a wedge of water and lose contact with the road. Your car is literally skiing in the street. When this happens, take your foot off the gas, but don't brake. Braking can cause your car, and sometimes you, to spin out of control. But the best way to hedge against hydroplaning is to equip your car with well-treaded tires. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Also welcome to WWKK, radio listeners, Northern Michigan's Cool 750, and also 1110 WJML, the Talk of the North. Two new stations that carry part of this program. And just for a moment, I wanted to bring up something that is important to the people in the Petoskey, Michigan area, which is where these two stations are located, and that is, and we'll come back to your calls here in just a second, but the record-breaking nurses strike up there, if you live in that area, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This has been going on for 8 months now. The Northern Michigan Hospital nurses have been out on strike trying to get a fair deal, trying to get a relationship with the hospital that treats them with respect. Now, this is one of those instances where that we're all so familiar with in this country. If you are a working person, and if you are a professional working person, if you are a member of a union, if you are thinking about forming a union, I don't care if you work at Walmart or if you're a registered nurse, it doesn't make any difference. As soon as you start talking the union talk, as soon as you decide to organize to make sure that you can't be arbitrarily fired, you can't have your hours jerked around, you can't be forced to do something that you shouldn't be forced to do, as soon as that talk begins, what happens in Bush's America? What happens in Bush's America? The heavy artillery comes out.
Oh, you think about organizing a union, huh? Well, here, how about this? Get out of here with that talk.
That's why we have the National Labor Relations Board. That's why we have rules that when a group of workers, and again, it doesn't matter if they're steel workers, auto workers, radio talk show hosts, or nurses in Petoskey, Michigan, who decide they want to organize, who decide they want to have representation, who decide they want a place at the table to discuss issues like working conditions and the conditions under which their patients are dealing. When that comes up, woo, oh, you're talking union, huh? 8 months ago, nurses in the Petoskey, Michigan area decided that the issue had become so serious. They tried to negotiate. They tried to work something out. They tried to organize. And, of course, management at this hospital would hear none of it. So what we have in Michigan, in Petoskey, Michigan, and again, yes, I'm mentioning this because folks in that area are just joining us on the IE America Radio Network, are just taking the program. So, I just have to bring it up. The Associated Press has been reporting on this. The nurses, the staff, the nursing staff that was told 8 months ago to piss off. What do you mean you want to organize? What do you mean you want to have representation? What do you mean you want to unionize? And the nurses tried. Now think about this, because this is Bush's America. They tried. Reasonably, logically, low-key, look, we're professionals. We are taking care of people who are ill. We are taking care of people pre-op and post-op. We are taking care of people who are in hospital, who are sick. The working conditions under which we are going to associate with this hospital have got to be those kinds of conditions that don't make us sick, too. How hard is this? How difficult is this for the management of a hospital to understand? The result, the nurses asked the officials of Teamsters Local 406, that's the union that represents the nurses. They wanted help. They said, look, you know, we're seeking our union reps to sit down with these people to try to explain to them how serious the issue is. But workers in this country, especially in Bush's America, when they try to reasonably and rationally discuss an issue, say, and again, it doesn't make any difference what field the worker is in. It can be healthcare. It can be manufacturing. It can be farm labor. It can be service work. It can be retail. It doesn't matter. Management, the owners, don't want to hear it. Now, I'm not going to give anybody an education on how important unions have been to the middle and working class in this country. But suffice it to say that we all know there's a critical nursing shortage in this country. And it is well known that nurses are overworked, underpaid, underappreciated. Now, I know that sounds like a cliche, but it's true. So it's especially sad to see a hospital group, the Northern Michigan Hospital, trying to keep them from organizing and earning a fair wage with reasonable working conditions. It's just a damn shame. You know, this is not the 1890s, this is not the 1920s, this is not the 1930s. Why are these issues still out there? Well, to the nurses in Northern Michigan who are involved in this, you certainly have my support. Maybe one night we can get some of those folks on the phone to give us some first-person accounts about what's going on there. I've got some stuff that I pulled off the internet, but yeah, you know, it's kind of dry. Some quotes from some of the nurses. One nurse was asked, "Did you think the strike would last this long?" She replies, "No, I did not. I'm amazed that we're still on strike. I'd hoped the hospital would see that we're valued employees and that the hospital would sit down and bargain." Another nurse says, if we are viewed as professionals, we would, by the hospital, we wouldn't have been out this long. This is my community. I'm not leaving this community. Another nurse says, when asked about the length of the strike, I didn't think it would go this long. I've been a nurse for 34 years, and this makes the top of the wall of shame in terms of employers. We don't know what else we can do. We've done everything we possibly could. In the meantime, the people who are using this hospital are dealing with nurses who are not connected to the community, nurses who have been brought in by the hospital that we're talking about here, the Northern Michigan Hospital. Nurses who being brought in on this basis are being paid two and three times what the staff nurses are normally paid. It's an ugly, awful situation. I get so tired of it. I get so tired in 2003 that labor management issues are still like this. It's still an attempt. Always it's an attempt to screw the worker. Whether the worker is professional, non-professional, doesn't make any difference. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we can talk with somebody up there at some point. It just never stops, does it? Aaron is calling from Indianapolis. Aaron is a NAM vet. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Love you, man.
Hey, back at you, dude.
Hey, I was, listening to this, watching this on TV today about this stuff going over there, man. It just it brings back memories you wouldn't believe, man.
How soon before the fragging begins?
Well, I see it coming quick. You can't piss on a man's boot with a gun,
That's right.
And they start, especially in the war zone when you got bullets flying.
That's right.
Bullets fly all over the place, and they can't get at Bush. They can't get at Rumsfeld. Guess who the leaders are?
Yeah.
They get at the man that's standing in front of them.
Having been through... And we have a whole cadre of NAM vets who tune into this program. Having been, I got to ask you, having been what you went through, what would you advise these soldiers? Now, you and I both know that they can't mutiny. They can't do that.
Well, I loved my country. I thought I was there for a good reason, but
right.
You learn pretty damn quick.
Right.
When you're in some situation like that,
that's
my advice would be to, hang in there. I know what's going to happen here. I mean, I can see it like I've seen it there. I was there not 71, right as the end. And nobody wanted to be the last man to die in Vietnam.
Yeah, no kidding.
And
so you'd say to these people in Iraq, keep your head down, cover your ass, do your time,
just come home, man.
And get out.
Yeah.
And get out.
Yeah, I feel for these guys, man. I really do. I served over there. My brother served over there. I volunteered twice for Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of them gung-ho crazy bastards. But, I really, I seen... at the end, it gets really nasty.
Sure.
And these guys, they feel they're at their end. They did their job.
Mm-hmm.
They want to come home. It wasn't like when I went over there, right? I volunteered for a year in Vietnam. I was happy to go. I was crazy, but
I was 17
years old too.
Right. If any lesson should have been learned over the history, the modern history of warfare, and especially for the United States where it concerns Southeast Asia, the lesson should have been this: the soldiers that are told to go over there and do the killing and the fighting and the destruction are not the soldiers who should be left there to do the pacifying and the nation building.
That's correct.
I mean, how hard is that to understand?
Yeah. Well, we made a mistake I hope the American people have seen that we're making a mistake over there. In Iraq. I really do. I hope the Americans wake up here and see that these boys are just dying for these bastards to line their pockets, and that's it.
Yeah, they're fighting for Kellogg Brown and Root and
WorldCom,
yeah.
So they can get them a big system going over there. It's sick. And the only advice I give these boys is just, be safe, man.
Yeah, I hear that. Hey, Aaron, thanks for checking in.
Man.
Hope to hear from you again.
Oh, I will.
All right, sir. Take care. Keep your head down, cover your ass, do your time, get out. Because ain't nobody in the Pentagon, ain't nobody in Central Command who even wants to hear the complaints.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Mom? Dad?
Someone's gonna try and get me to take drugs.
Wanna do something about it? You're gonna have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tuck, you gotta be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay,
if they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Molloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy.
And you hate me?
Ooh,
you
why
hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Molloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Justice and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
24 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Andy is calling in from Santa Fe. Hey, Andy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, and I hope you are as well.
Uh-huh.
Now, what do you make of candidates Dean and Lieberman calling for the resignation of DCI George Tenet?
Well, I hadn't read the story, but I'd heard about this. I think it's valid, but it gives their position gives the Flying Monkey Right ammunition to say, see, they're just politicizing it. See, it's just because they're running for president.
Yeah, that's kind of what I. Well, there's that, but I don't really necessarily see where he should be the fall guy anyhow.
Well, of course not. In a legitimate political world, first of all, none of this would have happened. But secondly, George Bush and Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell and Rumsfeld and Cheney would have the courage, which none of them do. They're all cowards. The courage to say, well, we cooked this up because we knew we had to sell the American public on the idea, so we decided to start talking nuclear weapons.
Right. But
that's not going to happen. Okay. So,
yeah.
So should George Tenet resign? Personally, I hate to say this, but I don't have an opinion. Oh, my God. I don't have an opinion on this.
Well,
I don't care one way or the other whether he resigns or not.
I'm glad to hear that, because as far as I'm concerned, I say to myself, well, since when is the Director of Central Intelligence responsible for, you know, the writing of the State of the Union address?
Duh. Of course.
It's ridiculous.
Of course it's ridiculous. And you know it, and I know it, and thinking people know it. That's why all this...
And why wouldn't a candidate of the caliber of the left that supposedly John Dean is not realize that, for crying out loud?
You don't mean John Dean.
Okay, Abner Dean.
I know what you mean. All right.
At any rate, I want to tell you, Mike, I feel very, very sorry for the our soldiers in Iraq who have spoken out against what's happening. Because let me tell you, you think the Dixie Chicks got problems? These guys got big problems. When they come back to the United States,
big
problems.
Yeah, that's true. What do you think then about this this business about Tenet resigning? Do you feel basically the same way I do? It's a non-issue. Couldn't care less.
I think I already sort of said that. I just don't understand how he could possibly be responsible,
right,
for the words that come out of the administration.
Yeah, I agree.
It's ridiculous. He's a fall guy. He said in October, at least as my understanding goes, his advice in October to the administration, that is the October preceding the January State of the Union address.
Said drop the reference.
That information was bogus.
Yeah, it was false. And then Condoleezza Rice has the nerve to say that she just found out about it in June.
Well, Condoleezza Rice on Fox News, basically was saying it all depends on what the meaning of is.
Yeah, basically that's what she said.
That's what she was saying.
That's what she was saying.
Hardy har har.
Of course, there's a difference between oral sex and the deaths of 10, 12, 14,000 people. Oral sex is bad. The mass murder is good, apparently.
We have to wonder in America which is worse.
Yeah, I hear that loud and clear.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, thank you, sir. I appreciate it, Andy. Thanks for checking in. Oh, we got a break. Okay. Let's take the break. We'll come back and take your phone calls. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
In my youth, it was so easy to stand up and say smugly, who was sane and who was crazy, who was wrong and who was right, who was numbered with the angels and who sided with the devil, who was good and who was evil. It was all so black and white. But the years have taught me better. Good and evil do not matter. There were
birds are faster scattered to hide their bloody hands. And what's truth and what's illusion? What's order or confusion? Who's winning or who's losing? Just depends on where you stand. There is no...
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Custodians in Portland, Oregon have joined a growing list of janitors around the country with union contracts. 1,800 members of Service Employees International Union Local 49 gave their approval to a five-year deal over the weekend. And while it doesn't bring janitors the full family health coverage they were seeking, it will provide them with 100% employer-paid health coverage. It also contains a clause that would provide the children of janitors with health coverage should their union sign up 70% of the city's janitors.
The strategy is to utilize as much as possible the excitement of the members of the union to help do the organizing.
Lori King is an organizer with Portland Jobs with Justice. She says the union currently represents 57% of Portland's downtown janitors, meaning it needs to sign up another 400 in order for children's health coverage to kick in.
It's going to take four downtown buildings who hire on with union janitorial firms that will put the percentage up to 70%. So it really puts the incentive on organizing and puts the incentive on people who are members of the union to help do the organizing.
The contract also brings workers a 10-cent raise next year and quarter-per-hour raises in each of the following years.
Contract talks begin today between the United Auto Workers Union and the big three U.S. automakers. Keeping health care costs low is expected to be the largest area of contention between the two sides. The UAW has previously said it will not accept any increases in health insurance premiums, while Daimler, Chrysler, General Motors, and Ford say hikes are necessary as their own costs are rising and profit margins on every vehicle sold are at their lowest levels in years, averaging under $500 per vehicle for each company. More than 300,000 auto workers are covered under the contracts, which expire in September.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. Well, no, I say that at the top of the hour. What do I say right here, Kathy? I say 27 before the... Okay. We will be here tomorrow night, and then we're off Friday and all of next week. Who's going to be substituting? Do you know? Charlie Langton, the lawyer, and Curtis Ellis, maybe, and maybe Ski Anderson, and Charlie and Curtis, okay. And tomorrow night, our farewell tribute to Ari the Liar, so don't miss that. Scott's calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Mike. I want to let you know that I greatly appreciate both yours and Kathy's unrelenting efforts toward, well, the good fight.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I think it's warranted. I'm calling about the class warfare issue.
Okay.
Because it just teased me off when I hear these, well, can I say bastards?
Sure, go ahead.
I say it.
You might as well do.
when they blame the people that they perpetrate, I call that man the perpetrator in the White House.
Right. That's good.
Yeah, because that is what they do. They play double standards and mm-hmm. they shift the onus as the focus as though we are the source of the incongruity instead of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that pisses me off, quite frankly.
Well, and well, it should. This gang, this Bush gang, I don't think anybody, even these knuckle-dragging right-wing Republicans, could deny that this Bush crime family is the most incompetent group ever to legally or illegally occupy power in this country.
Right, exactly. But how many people in this country read and understand history and the precedents and the consequences of what's going on today?
Well, maybe it's going to reach a point where it doesn't matter. Whether or not people have read history, whether or not people understand how vile and filthy this Bush thug family truly is. And the reason it may not matter is when enough of our sons are killed and husbands are killed. You know, we've got guys.
And daughters, too.
Yeah, and we've got guys over there who are in their 50s, for Christ's sake.
Well, yeah, you're right.
We've got National Guard and reservists who are in their 40s and 50s, you know, who have grandchildren. When their bodies start coming home,
yes,
maybe
sir.
The American public will
yes,
wake
sir.
Up. When all the jobs disappear.
And when people understand, when class warfare, see, what has deferred. This is what really ticks me off. What has deferred the real cost of class warfare is that we've exported it.
Yeah.
But just as you just said, it has to come home eventually, and I agree with you. I think that's about to happen. It's finite. It has to do that.
Well, it's a shame that it takes economic chaos and death in order to wake us up in this country, but sometimes that's all
right.
that will
and,
wake
and
us up.
And so many people don't understand yet what the Vietnam War was all about. I mean, Noam Chomsky wrote about it extensively, and
right.
yet people write him off and think he's a fluke.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
Can I read a very short poem again?
Sure.
It's called American Flagellation. Because
American Flagellation?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm not sure. Okay,
well,
go
no,
ahead.
Well, no, there are no obscenities in it.
All right, go ahead.
It has to do with the fact that so many of these bozos who don't know anything and couldn't be bothered to extend an effort to know for themselves just sign on to the
All right, is
I'm
it,
proud to be American.
Is it a quick poem?
Yeah, very quick, and
go
then
ahead.
I'll leave you alone.
No, you don't have to leave us alone. Just go ahead.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the poor and not the flag, which would obscure the real reason for their plight, which I know comes from the far right. This republic will not long stand with oligarchs in sole command, whose avarice pretends religious, while double standards still infringe us. This place, America, once was free, but try to name just one treaty that wasn't made into a lie, where stars and stripes now proudly fly. The poor are soundly locked in prison by those who profit with derision. Liberty does not exist when justice is an iron fist.
Well, I like that, Scott.
Can I don't have to take up airtime for this, but do you have a mailing address? I got your fax, but could I send some stuff
to you? Sure, absolutely. You ready?
Yeah.
P.O. Box 238.
Okay.
Decatur, that's D-E-C-A-T-U-R, Georgia, 30030.
20030.
No, 300.
Oh, 300. 31.
31. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, P.O. Box 238, Decatur, Georgia, 30031.
Right, got it.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, thank you.
All right, sir, you have a nice evening. I love getting stuff in the mail. Unless it's ticking or powdery. Oh, my God. Charles is calling from Augusta, Georgia. Hey, Charles.
Mike, listen now.
I'm listening.
You're getting too big for your britches.
Oh, I am? What'd I do?
Us old-timers, you know, who called in before you got to be all famous and everything, we can't get through now.
Hey, listen, I don't know what to do about that. I've been say to Kathy, when folks call in, tell them to get out the way Charles is coming.
Thank you. I get that busy signal thing.
I know. We're working on it, Charles. I keep telling folks, I don't care where you're calling from, get out the way Charles is coming.
And I want to tell you something else, Mike.
Sure.
Help is on the way.
Thank you.
I wonder how many of these people who listened to Bush say that during his election, how they feel about it right now.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Everything Bush said during the campaign, every single filthy, lying word that came out of his mouth. If somebody wants to get a scorecard out and just take a look at what he said and what he's done, there is nothing, not one thing that this psychopath has, not one promise has he fulfilled. Nothing. Nothing. And it's not going to happen.
And what's ironic, you know, is that they were waiting on those absentee ballots in Florida from the servicemen to put this idiot in office to send these guys off to die.
Yeah, I wonder how the military vote is going to go in 2004, if there is a vote. I wonder if the soldiers who were conned into believing Bush and his syndicate's filthy, rotten lies, I wonder if they're going to vote for him this time. I wonder if they're going to say, hoo-ah! You know, and cast a vote for a lying son of a bitch who sent them to die. I wonder if they're going to do it this time. Or I wonder if our young men in uniform are going to take a look at this punk, this thug, and say, no, my life is worth more. I will die for my country. I will die for freedom. I will die defending my family. But I will not die for Halliburton or Kellogg, Brown, and Root or for the Carlyle Group. I wonder. I don't know, Charles. You tell me, pal.
Well, Mike, I tell you, I conduct my own private poll every day. I don't have to look at the news or go online to look at these polls. I conduct my own poll every day when I drive down the road. And every day I have to search to find a flag flying on a SUV like I did about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me George Bush is in trouble. George Bush, he is Mike Tyson. He's the unbeatable Mike Tyson, and I got a feeling that Buster Douglas is going to knock him off next year.
I hope so. I hope that's the case. Charles, thanks for checking in. Don't be a stranger. And I'll try to clear out these phones when I know you're trying to call.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, Charles.
Okay. All right,
you have a good evening. The Independent of the UK is reporting that Dick Cheney, the chupacabra, the goat-sucking thug who is the alleged vice president, actually runs this country, and this administration's most outspoken hawk over Iraq, is starting to hear demands for his resignation because of his promoting the use of false evidence to build the case for war. The Independent of the UK says Cheney, was accused of using his office to insist that a false claim about Iraq's efforts to buy uranium from Africa to restart its nuclear program be included in Bush's State of the Union address, overriding the concerns of the CIA Director George Tenet. Mr. Cheney also was accused of knowingly misleading Congress when the administration sought its authorization for the use of force to oust Saddam Hussein. Those are the accusations that are coming from. Remember, we shared this with you at my website. That group of former senior intelligence officials, and we shared that letter with you, that open letter to Bush, where the group asked that Bush demand Cheney's resignation. Now, aside from the fact that this group of former senior intelligence officers is very sincere. You know, let's set that aside for a second. Can you imagine too stupid to release his parachute harness walking into Cheney's office and saying, Uncle Dick, I want your resignation? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine this dry drunk And I'm not using dry drunk in a pejorative way. That's a clinical term. Well, not necessarily clinical, but AA will tell you that a dry drunk is somebody who drank. Bush, by his own admission, stopped when he was 40. Let's assume he started in prep school when he was 15. He drank for 25 years. Now, does anybody out there want to suggest that George W. Bush, after 25 years of heavy drinking, went cold turkey and there's no effect? Anybody will tell you, who understands, whether it's a medical doctor or a member of AA, will tell you precisely what's going on. George Bush is what is referred to as a dry drunk. Now, Dick Cheney, who had his DUIs also, he was a drunk too. One assumes he stopped before his 40th birthday. Who knows? But George W. Bush is displaying every single trait of a so-called dry drunk. The belligerence, the inability to put together a coherent sentence, the inability to listen to a multi-part sentence, the obvious depression, the abuse that he heaps on people that don't agree with him. This is what AA, I've got a good friend who has been, what's the term that they use, Kathy, not on the wagon, well, yeah, sober, but of course, but there's another term. But he's been in AA for 9 years now, and he's really struggled to maintain, and he has maintained. But he shared some of the jargon with me that is used in AA, like stinkin' thinkin'. And this is precisely, if you watch Bush from that context, if you have any understanding whatsoever, if you've ever attended Al-Anon meetings, I'm not talking about AA, I'm talking about Al-Anon, where people who have a friend or a relative or a spouse who is a full-blown drunk, and you go to Al-Anon in order to get an understanding of what you have to deal with. You're either going to figure out a way to live with that drunk, or you're going to figure out a way to leave that drunk. And that's what Al-Anon is all about. Either detach from the drunk behavior or detach from the person. But George Bush displays the characteristics and the traits of the so-called dry drunk. Now, they don't have a long life expectancy when they're this sick. And they are subject to absolutely erratic behavior, a kind of behavior that can cause chaos for people around them and people who are not around them. Look what George Bush has done. We're concerned two countries. And don't think for a second that I think the Taliban or Saddam Hussein represented the best of good government. I don't. But look at both situations. When, in fact, the terrorists who bombed this country, 15 of them, if you believe the official story, came from Saudi Arabia. Bush family business partners. So what we have here is a situation where we are all at very serious, serious risk until this man is removed from office and he gets the proper help that he so desperately needs, whether that is drug therapy or psychoanalytical therapy or hospitalization, whatever it takes. But in the meantime, the United States Senate and the American people are filling the role of enablers, just like all of his family, all of his business partners. Every time this guy drank himself into a stupor, flopped, failed, somebody was there to bail him out, enabling him to continue his drunken behavior. And now the United States Senate has become George W. Bush's chief enabler because the United States Senate refuses to use its power granted by the United States Constitution to stop this madman. And so it goes, huh? Now, I'm going to post something at my website tonight. I hope you check it out on just the topic we were just talking about. Written by, what is he, associate editor of American Prospect? Let me see. Alan Bisbort, who I believe is the associate editor of that public. He's a columnist for the Hartford Advocate, American Politics Journal, which is where the piece I'm going to post originally appeared. But the title is Dry Drunk. And it's we'll put this up at the website tonight, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, so check it out tomorrow. But I think you need to read this. I think you need to read it. Might help us understand collectively what we're up against. See, it's not going to stop until Bush is removed from office, one way or the other, either impeachment or defeat in the polls in 2004, or whatever method or means to remove him from office is employed. Until that time, this society is at risk, this nation is at risk, the rule of law and the U.S. Constitution are at risk, the reputation of the United States globally is at risk, and our intercourse with other countries, all of it is at risk until this man is removed from office.
Nothing like having a few friends over for a cocktail or two.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's. A good place to sit and eat.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved, guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way, guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams, guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be
on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
The pow, 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 power of positive drinking. The pow, 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 power of positive. The pow, 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 power of positive. The pow, 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 power of positive.
I could have passed the background check on the standards applied on the most stringent conditions when my dad was president of the United States. A 15-year period.
You say alcohol makes you less lucid, and I think that's true if you're kind of stupid. I'm not that kind that gets himself burned twice. Some say liquor kills the cells in your head, and for that matter, so does getting out of bed. When I exit, I'll go out gracefully, shot in my hand.
It's about 4 minutes before the hour. Robert is calling from Los Angeles. Hey, Robert.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Hey.
Is it me, or does it just seem like the entire Bush administration reinvented this dog ate my homework theory?
It's not you, pal. That's exactly what's going on, only worse because people are dying over it.
Exactly. You know, it's like, oh, the dog ate my homework because my little brother took him out for a walk, but he didn't feed him, so he ate up my homework, but it was still a good paper, so I should still get an A for it. That's what Bush is.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Bad, you know, and it's really amazing. It's all these things that are constantly throwing at us, you know, and that Marine that called half an hour ago really moved my heart, and it's just unfortunate now that...
The Vietnam vet?
Yes. Yeah. You know, and I was only a little tyke when Vietnam was around, but now... Even though it's still a little early, I still think that we're starting to feel what it was like to, you know,
mm-hmm.
be in that situation. Anyway, I got to go. I got to get out of here because I know you have to go too. But I want to talk to you about the Democratic situation with the NAACP. But I'll wait for tomorrow to talk about that, okay?
All right. Will do. All right. Thanks, Robert.
All right. Peace.
All right, sir. Take care. Kevin from New Jersey. Mike, at one time you mentioned that anyone who had a protest or vigil going on could contact you and you would announce it. The Ocean County Community for Peace and Justice is sponsoring a voter registration in Lakewood Square, Lakewood, New Jersey, this Saturday from 2 to 5 p.m. I'm not sure if this qualifies, but figured I'd take a chance anyway. Thanks, Kevin. Well, yeah, absolutely. If you live in the Lakewood, New Jersey area, Ocean County Community for Peace and Justice is sponsoring a voter registration. Lakewood Square, this Saturday, July 19th, from 2 to 5. Program tonight engineered in Detroit by Stephanie Stryker, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Don't forget our farewell tribute to Ari Fleischer tomorrow night. Many thanks to Mark Marshall, our webmaster and cyber guru. MaximumInteractive.com. And as always, a big thanks to Jim in Arkansas for the music contribution. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
On Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance.